Mr. Douglas Reel 7. What sort of training were you doing whilst you were in Oxfordshire?
Well, mostly was weapon training. We used to go firing on the ranges and route marching, getting used to the new equipment and sort of settling in, getting used to being away from home, you know. Thing is, you see, we were territorials, so that, you know, you couldn't... We did, when the war first broke out, we went digging trenches and all that sort of thing, but still at home, more or less, in your home county. But once you went away, of course, then you can really get down to being a soldier, you know, rather than... We did get leave before we left. We got embarkation leave, or whatever they call it, and... That was about, it was just about a fortnight after Christmas or something. Yeah.
This was just before you went to France?
Oh, yes, yes.
Just going back to the training, you mentioned you were getting new equipment. What new equipment were you getting?
Well, we had the equipment, but you sort of got to get used to it. You know what I mean? To say your battle dress to start with was... Your whole uniform was salted, your weapons, you got the Brenners against the Lewis. And the thing was, an administration had all been changed. The headquarters had got new cookers, big petrol burner things, you know, and proper containers. We had the old 1914 billy cans, the big oval steel things. Now we had the sort of oblong, big aluminium, more or less, lighter and better, all better equipment. But of course, hadn't really had the chance to test it and get used to it, because we hadn't had a camp or anything. We hadn't been away, and that was a good chance to get used to everything, and of course get fit for battle, if you like to call it that. Because, I mean, when you're working and just going to the drill hole twice a week, you know, obviously you've got to get used to marching. You know, we used to go on quite a lot of route marches, get used to that with your aircraft training, the new aircraft things that they had, because we hadn't had much of that. And we used to practice that and things like that, you know.
And how long did this last for? Just after the Christmas of 1940?
Yes, I think it would be in January when we went embarked for France, and the whole battalion went to France. Like,
what were the feelings amongst the men when you knew you were going to France?
Well, you sort of looked forward to it, really, I suppose, you know. We didn't realise what war, real war, was like, you know. You remember, there was no television or anything like that in those days, you know. There was pictures, like the cinema, they used to put war film pictures on, but our idea of war was different to what it was really like, you know. And of course, we look forward to it, and that was quite a thing. I remember when we landed in France, was the smells hit me. They smoked different cigarettes to us, sort of, and the whole atmosphere was different, quite new, and you'd have sort of enjoyed it. Because there was no fighting or anything. You know, we landed at Cherbourg, and we, from there, we were entrained, of course, to... we went to a place called Gondicourt.
Was this the whole battalion?
Oh, yes, the whole battalion went abroad.
Was that that must have been quite a large logistical problem, getting that many number of men across there?
Well, this is the thing, that we had training in Oxfordshire, you'd been away, you see, and we'd each company had an area that was all spread out in the headquarters and everything, as you would in the field, when you're fighting. Of course, remember this, you must remember this, we were still working on 1914 war principles. The Blitzkrieg hadn't been, well, hadn't encountered, it hadn't happened. And of course, the thinking of the British Army was quite outdated in lots of ways. You know, and they worked on more or less on 1914, but older principles. We didn't expect the war to start the way it was. The thought that it would develop into the same as what it was in 1914, or more or less that sort of thing. Of course, we thought that we were just going to wallop them, sweep them up, you know. It hadn't sunk in, the fact that Warsaw and the aircraft and things like hadn't really got through to our high command on that. It had, but they hadn't got enough to realise what it was going to be like.
Bearing in mind what did happen, what did you think of the training that you did receive? Did you think it was relevant to what happened later on?
As far as we could, yes. We had the new Bren gun carriers, you know. It was a very, very, very good vehicle. We had the new platoon truck. It was not a jeep, but that sort of, where we used to put your kit in, you know, and that sort of thing to carry. It was different to what it had been. There was new thinking there, you know. We were a fairly, well, possibly the most up-to-date army in the world next to Germany. Of course, we're way behind them, Blake, but we were pretty up-to-date. We had good equipment, and we were used, you know, got used, were trained in it, and we were pretty good.
What about tactics that you'd been trained in? You did mention that you were digging trenches in your training, obviously.
Yes, well, as I say, war's war. Even today, 40 years on from the war, 50, 60, you've still got to dig in, you know. You've got to get down or be killed. So the trenches are, or up to then, were still essential. Still essential. But we didn't know what to expect, really, but we did a lot of anti-tank digging in France. Huge, deep things, you know, about 10, 12, 14 foot deep, with a drop on one side and a slope on the other, so the tanks went in and couldn't get out. We've done quite a lot of that. It was cold, very, very cold in France, where it's some very cold cold weather.
Was the date when you got there? Can you remember?
I can't remember the date.
It must have been the beginning of 1940.
Oh, yes, it was in January, I think. If I don't remember, I think it was in January, because I remember we were talking to some of the lads, and they were on about some guards. They were further up near the coast, I think. It wasn't anything to do with us, like, but they were in a tent, bell tent, and they had a brazier, coke brazier, and they'd either frozen to death or been gassed through having it in the tent. I'm not sure where it was, but two of them had died, you know. So it was cold, it was very cold at first.
What was your first camp like that you went to in France? Can you remember it? Your first encampment or your first billet?
Oh, yes, yes.
Where was that?
Gondicourt.
What was it? Can you describe it?
It was Well, it was a farm where we went, where Sea Company went, was a farm where my platoon was in a sort of a hayloft, a long hayloft, plenty of room for the, you know, every man had a fair decent amount of room. On the floor, of course, you put your blanket on the floor and slept, and it was quite warm because they had cattle underneath, and it was quite warm, you know, well, I'd say quite warm, it was comfortable enough, rather than like sleeping in a tent outside or anything like that. It was all right. And I remember the farmer had a big stack of twigs, sort of thing. They were high, about 6 foot, and you know, a yard around, but thin. And they used to burn those rather than thick woods. I was never in the farmhouse like. We saw the farmer when he getting about his work and that sort of thing, but we didn't have anything to do with him, like, you know. But I remember them twigs, and of course another thing was the food. When we got out, there was cafes where you could go, that was the thing of the lads, you know, the French was it pommes de frites and egg and chips. I thought they were good. He used to laugh, and we had a fair good time. We did a lot of route marching there. You know, you had to keep fit. Digging anti-tank maneuvers. Used to go and went out in the country on night patrols and patrolling the Ardennes, you know, that area. And we were kept busy, like, you know.
So what was a typical day like when you were in this period of time when you first got over to France?
What was
a typical day like?
Well, you sort of got Hadley Valley, you know, similar to what it was in the Hadley Valley. You had to get up, washed, shaved, on parade, inspected, see that you were clean, hair was combed, and teeth cleaned and everything.
So still the normal sort of inspection?
Yes, the normal. And then, of course, you'd have your company orders, whatever it was. You might go on a march, you might go on anti-tank digging, you might, whatever it was. And of course, you get used to your equipment, all again, using it, getting ready for action. So that, but the normal day was just like that sort of thing. And then, of course, you finished, you know, around about tea time, you know, and then if you got a leave, or you had permission, like, some of the lads went off, like it.
So you got free time as well?
Oh, yes. We used to get free time, we used to go down the village and have a feed of earth, chips, and that sort of thing. And there was a place about 5 miles away. I remember another thing I remember with the roads was the in France was the roads, cobbles. Oh God, give your legs some stick marching on them. Ooh, they were rough, cobbly roads, and didn't have give your leg muscles used to ache. We took quite a long time to get used to that sort of thing. Just as well we went there, like, to get used to it, because we did quite a bit of marching. And on the night time, when they had the leisure, there was a place about 5 miles away. There would be maybe say a truck. Take five. How many was allocated from the company? Maybe two or three from each section. And they would go there, and there was a brothel there. And I remember the lads come back, tell me about this thing, this brothel. I didn't believe it at first, and I thought, well, it must be true. And of course, some of the lads used to march Walk it there, 5 miles there, and come back early, all early hours of the morning, you know, because it was a long way. And anyway, I said, I'm going to look into this, see what it is. So I went on, and it sure enough was right. And I went in this place, and I was appalled, horrified. I was just very young and naive, and that. I ran out and I said, oh my God, what a place that is. Oh, and there's a brothel. First time I'd ever come across anything like that. Of course, the lads were happily lapped it up, the older ones, particularly.
Was it popular?
Very popular. Well, as I say, they used to walk it, and mind, 5 miles on them cobbled roads, it was something. And 5 miles back, you had to walk back as well.
What was the reaction of the local population to yourselves?
We didn't have much to do with the population, very little. I remember seeing some of the French soldiers, and I thought, what a bloody heap, you know. They weren't smart like us. Somehow, to me, they seemed as though they were raggle-taggle sort of. Weren't smart. They weren't in step. But I remember one smart man said, good God, what an army. But of course, that was just my first impression of them. Later on, I realised they were quite good soldiers. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Good soldiers. As good as they fought. Of course, they were fighting for their country, weren't they? As I say, we didn't have much to do with the population themselves, you know. But part of them going to cafes and going to shops. We used to get leave. Might get leave to go to Lille or somewhere, you know, one of the big towns. You could walk around there and see the sights of a day, a few, you know, on a weekend. So we had quite a really pleasant time. I mean, I was quite happy at all the other lads were.
How was the war affecting the local population then? How were the local people reacting to the war?
Well, as I say, the war was far away from them, you know. And they had the same idea as us. They'd beaten them once and let them come, we'll show them. So, you know, that was the attitude, really. They were more worried than us, I think, the French people. Because they had experienced war before. We hadn't, apart from the Zeppelin bombs, you know, and that things, but in the First War. But they were fairly cheerful, like, I think. And they had the Maginot Line, and we were there, you know. We were there before any invasion. Like, in the First War, they invaded, and then we had to go there. And so they could liaise between them, and that's and there was quite some of the manoeuvres we did were in conjunction with the French, you know, to get used to them. Couldn't speak their language, like, but you did your job and they did theirs.
Did you get the impression that civilian life in France was going on as normal, or as normal as?
Oh no, it wasn't the same. It wasn't in England. The lavatories were just a hole in the ground. They were just a hole in the ground, well, and the gents, pissoirs they called them, pissoir. It was just a little bit, you know, about 3-4 foot high, and just in the middle of a town somewhere, and people just walking past, nobody taking any notice. Somehow, because it was used, they were used to it. We weren't. And on the farm, we made our own sort of latrines up, so we had decent sanitary. But when you went in the towns, you went to the toilet. It was just you hadn't even privacy. Some had, the bigger towns had like a partition, no door, and some was just a line of holes and just to squat there. It was it took a bit of sort of getting used to, you know, it was in the smell and that, and that sort of thing. It was all strange, and that's here. It was all new experiences for me. And the lads were they eventually got used to it, like, you know. I mean, I was young, and I hadn't had much experience with it. Some of the older lads, the older men, took it better then. I was appalled at times. I said, oh, good God. And, of course, there's no baths. They did sometimes arrange for you to get a bath in a town, woke up. But I used to use a petrol tin, you know. Could a petrol tin open, and I would strip off in the farmyard and give myself a sponge and wash down as best I could. I remember that it wasn't Gondicourt I went to first. It was another place. It hadn't a name. It was just a farm. We moved to Gondicourt later on. And there was a land sergeant called Patterson, come from Black House. And he was one of my land sergeants, my section commander. And he said, wait, we'll get together, it'll be warmer. Oh, I said, okay then. So we slept together. Anyway, I got this hitch sort of thing, scratching spots. This is my old me. And I went to see the MO, and I had scabies. Well, horrible scabies. I'd never heard of the word before, but it sounded terrible. And I had to go to hospital, and give us a... put us in a bath, give us a good hard scrub, and that sort of thing. But I was put on charge, and go in front of the company commander. And the company sergeant major was there, and he went mad. His company had got scabies, you know. And he said, of course, I don't know where he got his information from. We didn't know much, but apparently he gets scabies through dirt. And he asked the company commander what sort of, and he says, and he told him, he says, this is the cleanest man in the regiment. He's seen us stripping up about that. It's always clean. He says, he's the cleanest man in the regiment. This is Captain Job, I can't remember the name, it's Captain. It'll come to us later on, maybe. But when I eventually got to know some about it, anyway, Lansan Patterson was off. I said, away, lad. I don't know what to do. And I slept by myself, on my own. I wouldn't let any of them come near us. One of the lads made a bed. He got some boxes and one, he let himself a bit of a bed, a handy lad. And the platoon commander came round inspecting out. He's lying up low, like. He said, this is not a hotel. And that's things like that. It was all not to make your day sort of thing. But the men, as a rule, there was hardships, you know. There were no comforts, not many home comforts, no home comforts, but they enjoyed themselves. As I say, we got leave, and every so often you'd get a weekend, you'd get a day's leave in a biggish town. So it was all right, like. We managed, we got good food.
I was going to ask what the rations were like.
We were well fed. Yes, we were well fed.
What sort of things were you getting to eat? Hmm? What sort of things were you getting to eat? What sort of things were you getting to eat?
To eat, oh, we used to get a lot of tinned food. I remember particularly like the tinned bacon. It used to be in a round tin, you know, and it was curled around. And of course, the used to take that and fry it. The headquarters of it, they were the ones who did deal that dealt with the food and that. And they used to bring it out in the containers for it to work. But we got pretty good food. Got bread, plenty of bread, and we got cooked meal every day, often a cooked breakfast. And you could buy food yourself if you, because we were pretty well paid compared with the French soldiers. It was the same with those soldiers and us as it was with our soldiers and the Americans. We got paid a lot more than the French soldier. So that, we had enough to be able to go and buy food.
What about fresh water?
Well, that was a thing that there was no really fresh water, you know, not like that. I don't think France ever had a good water. They drink a lot of wine. They just grow grapes. They grow grapes with the water they've got and make it into wine. So it was. But we used to get, our water was all right. We used to purify it. We had water. Had our water bottles filled periodically, and you go out and you'd use your water. Every man had to hand his bottle in. You'd make tea, you'd boil it up, make tea, sort of thing. But we had plenty of water. Like, we didn't drink much of their water. We used to get the water truck come around and get it.
The water truck or something?
Well, that water trucks. Mm-hmm.
How did you keep yourselves clean? I mean, you mentioned cutting the petrol cans in half and things. How did you keep your uniforms clean and your equipment clean?
Well, we had soap, and it was a cold sort of bath. You might be able to heat some water, build a bit of fire, and put your tin on it. And the men, I was a bit of a fanatic, I think, with keeping clean. More the men used to make do just with a weekly bath, you know. But I wash maybe two or three, four times a week out of a plunge down, because when the weather got warmer, it was quite hot. You sweat. When we're digging the trenches, it used to be just in my bare skin, take your shirt and everything off, because it really got really hot after a while in France. The weather was good, very good.
But you still had to keep clean and tidy. You were still inspected.
Oh yes. You still had to turn out and pray that it was hot on them, and your weapons, of course, had to be kept clean and everything. And you had to blank all your equipment. We had guards and turnouts. Provide guards sometimes for headquarters and that sort of thing. It was pretty much the same as what it was in England. You had to keep discipline.
How was the battalion organised then at this point? Were you organised in your separate companies?
Yes. Same as had been in England. It was like it's always the same headquarters in some chateau somewhere, Battalion. I think the whole brigade went out, and of course it was spread in a big area. I couldn't remember the names of the places or anything. But
which brigade would you have been in at that time? Which brigade was it?
151 brigade. They were the whole brigade, I think, went out.
What about the rest of the division?
We took our positions. See, we had our positions in case they attacked France. They hadn't attacked France. We were at war with Germany, but they hadn't attacked France, and I don't know what they couldn't really. Whether perhaps they were planning something for an advance up into Germany eventually, because the whole situation was a bit fluid. Poland had been conquered, and the French were depending a lot on the Maginot Line. It was very, very strong fortifications there, and they thought, well, just let them come and we'll blow them to pieces.